So on a very practical level, I think I'm going to be doing fewer conduit trusts going forward. In fact, I've already taken the conduit trust out of one client's wills because they're just not useful to that client anymore. And I think I'll be doing that for a few other clients. I have a list of people I need to contact. Because now those conduit trusts just add complexity without giving you much benefit. It used to be that in a large estate with lots of moving parts and lots of different types of assets, you could just drop some conduit provisions into the trust or the will, and that would guarantee that the client's children would be able to stretch out the IRA distributions over the children's lifetimes. And you didn't have to worry about all the other assets, you know, causing a problem. You didn't have to worry about who the remainder beneficiaries were or whether you had a charity in there. You give the kids a power of appointment over the entire trust without having to carve out the IRA portion. But now you can't get that life expectancy treatment for adult children who aren't disabled. I'll discuss the disabled children later, but for non-disabled children of the participant, there's no way to get that stretch out once they are adults. You can't get it by leaving it to them outright. You can't get it by leaving it to them in a carefully drafted trust. It's just not an option anymore. Adult, non-disabled children are stuck with the 10-year withdrawal schedule, no matter what we do. And that was the main purpose of the SECURE Act. That was the tax break that Congress wanted to take away in order to raise revenue to pay for other tax breaks. You know, because this has been a pretty expensive tax expenditure over the years, all the stretch outs that these adult children of IRA owners were getting. So Congress wanted to take that away. And they accomplished that goal. They delivered that bridge. The adult children of your clients are going to pay more in taxes on their inherited IRAs as a result of the SECURE Act. And our clients' minor children aren't a whole lot better off. Minor children have been defined as eligible designated beneficiaries, which, as Trezzi explained, means they can still use their life expectancies to calculate their required minimum distributions, but only until they're 18. Well, there's that little bit about 26, possibly, maybe if they're in college, but nobody's really clear on what that means. For most people, it's only until they're 18. Then they switch over to the 10-year rule also. And furthermore, they only get life expectancy treatment if you leave it to them outright or in a conduit trust. And this is where we get to the confusing bit. Why don't accumulation trusts work to get that life expectancy payout? I had this question, I think a lot of people did. And ultimately, well, first of all, I don't think it was Congress's goal to take away accumulation trusts. They wanted to take away the general stretch out for adult children, but they weren't necessarily trying to kill accumulation trusts. It's just something weird that happens when the SECURE Act interacts with pre-existing regulations that the Treasury Department has developed over years. And under these pre-existing regulations, a see-through trust, as Trezzi explained, is a trust in which the trust beneficiaries will be treated as if they were the direct beneficiaries of the IRA for the purpose of determining the withdrawal schedule. In a conduit trust, which is one of the two types of see-through trusts, one beneficiary receives outright distribution of every dollar the trustee withdraws from the IRA. Has to turn around, redistribute it outright to the beneficiary. And if that is required by the trust agreement, the regulations say to ignore all other beneficiaries of the trust and just use the age and life expectancy of that one conduit beneficiary. This works well with the SECURE Act's new eligible designated beneficiary concept. If we can ignore all remainder beneficiaries and the conduit beneficiary is a minor child of the participant, then it seems clear that this trust will receive the life expectancy distribution schedule that only eligible designated beneficiaries can get. But with an accumulation trust, all the regulations and private letter rulings that we've gotten over the years have focused on those remainder beneficiaries. And if a remainder beneficiary was older than the primary beneficiary, we had to use that older beneficiary's life expectancy to calculate the withdrawal schedule, even though we weren't yet making distributions to that older beneficiary. The younger beneficiary got the older beneficiary's life expectancy treatment. And if that remainder beneficiary didn't have a life expectancy because they were maybe a charity, then the trust wouldn't qualify for the life expectancy payout at all, even though the primary beneficiary did have a life expectancy. So those were the old rules. And the SECURE Act doesn't directly change any of those rules, except for disabled or chronically ill individuals, which I will get to later. But the SECURE Act doesn't change these rules for anyone else. It just grafts this new concept on top of them, this new concept of the eligible designated beneficiary. And leaves us to figure out how to make them work together. So how do they work together? Well, suppose you have a trust that provides for discretionary distributions, not conduit distributions, but discretionary distributions to a child who is 14 years old when the IRA owner dies. And then suppose the remainder beneficiary is that child's 19-year-old sister. The sister is over 18, so she's not an eligible designated beneficiary. So she doesn't qualify for the life expectancy payout schedule. She gets the 10-year rule under the new statute. But then under the pre-existing regs, we have this concept that we have to look at the beneficiary with the least desirable withdrawal schedule, and that's what the trust as a whole gets. So this accumulation trust gets the 10-year rule because the adult remainder beneficiary contaminates the whole trust. And it's hard not to have an adult remainder beneficiary in these trusts. You know, we're accustomed to drafting for various contingencies, including the contingency that all of the client's children might die without leaving children of their own. But that means you're probably naming, you know, aunts or uncles or cousins as these remainder beneficiaries, and they might be adults, or they might become adults before the client dies. So it's hard to avoid having adult remainder beneficiaries in there, and I think we just have to expect that to happen. And I know none of this makes sense. It seems like the minor child should get the benefit of a life expectancy payout because that's what the new statute says. They've gone to all this trouble to define minor children as eligible designated beneficiaries so they can get this. And then they take it away for all the trust that parents might actually want to create for their kids.